Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening. We are midway through April, kind of. And we're so happy you're joining us tonight. I'm happy to have you. And we have a special guest, Bree Phillips, joining us tonight. And a very quiet Mac.
Miss Positivity.
Miss Positivity.
You're like always like just upbeat and excited.
Oh, I'm sure it's always, right?
Always.
Always.
Always upbeat and excited.
She was in Rotary with me for a while.
Okay.
And maybe it was just the Rotary experience.
Oh.
I mean, I would say that I'm happy and upbeat all the time.
See,
there we go.
Yeah.
But would your husband and children?
Yes. Oh. They would. 100%.
Oh, I love that. Well, that's good.
So we got a jam-packed show, so we should get right to it.
Yes. Should I start with my slang?
Your slang, which Vintage you're still slang. On probation.
I know. You just said that you're going to cut it. I think
I didn't say I'm going to cut it. I said I'm just not sure if it's
okay,
working yet.
So today's word is a slang.
Okay, I'm
Old
ready.
Slang. So it's a word you'll know, but it was used differently. Applesauce.
Ooh, applesauce. So I guess first you can appear smarter than me when I guess really stupid. So applesauce, I think... obviously, people eat applesauce, but I think if it's being used as slang, it's something that like hit the pavement, didn't do well.
Kind of, yeah.
Like instead of an apple, it's applesauce. So it didn't go over well.
Oh, that's good, Mac. That's good. Play on
that's
words.
Close.
I was thinking more like saucy, something a little like,
I like
you
that.
Know, risque.
That's applesauce. I like that.
I do too. We should start that. As a brand.
Mac's a little closer though. It's nonsense. That's nonsense. That's
applesauce. Well, no, see, that seems unfair towards applesauce.
I know. Well, I thought
putting
it was
it
fun,
a
though. I mean, it's a fun word to say, yeah. And I don't say applesauce very often.
I want to change the historic meaning. To...
Yeah. That's applesauce. It's 1818.
Okay.
1818.
I like this.
Yeah, it's origins.
One more reason I'm glad I don't live in 1818. All right. So these are the history highlights. And I got a bunch of them today. A lot happened on tomorrow, April 14th.
I know one of them.
So well,
kind of a big one.
I hope you know a lot of these.
Okay.
But I'm going to start, and I don't do this all too often, but I'm going to make you both guess what year the word telescope is first used.
Ooh.
And I don't know whether I think this is earlier than it should be or later than I would have guessed.
Okay.
So what year do you think?
1906.
1906.
Oh, I was going to say 02. 1902.
1611.
Wow.
Oh, whoopsie.
It's used
just by... off by...
Yeah, by Prince Federico Sese. I'm probably mispronouncing that.
Probably.
See, I like, obviously, they're all looking at the stars and they're all excited, but 1611 for a telescope seemed kind of early to me, but then I thought, well, maybe that's late. I don't know.
Mac, that's applesauce.
It is applesauce. See,
I'm bringing it back.
She's bringing it back. All right. So 1775, the first abolitionist society in the U.S. organizes in Philadelphia. Way to go, Philly. 1828, the first American dictionary. Its author, Noah Webster, and this is the part that I found amusing, registers its copyright for publication. So does he own all the words in the dictionary? If he copyrighted it?
Oh, interesting. I guess I'd have to know a copyright lawyer.
And that was almost going to be my history highlight because, you know, dictionaries, they're cool.
It's pretty big,
1841, the first detective story is published. Edgar Allan Poe's Murders in the Rue Morgue.
Oh.
1841.
Nice. How?
I must admit, I've never read it.
Nope. Me either.
Never.
Nope.
somewhere there are three English teachers that are scowling.
I know. That...
They're mad.
Did you learn nothing in my class? All right. This one's just for me. 1860, the first Pony Express rider arrives in San Francisco from St. Joe, Missouri.
Good job.
Proving we could deliver the mail from the edge of the continent, well, the United States, Missouri, all the way out to California.
Yeah.
Very cool.
1861, the formal Union surrender at Fort Sumner. Civil War.
Yep.
1894, and this was almost going to be a history highlight as well, the first public showing of Thomas Edison's kinetoscope movies.
Oh, okay.
But since it didn't happen in Oregon, we don't care.
We still care.
We
yes.
do care. This one almost I was thinking about as well. 1896, the U.S. Patent Office issues patent number 558,393. We all remember which one that one was, right?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. To a
white man.
That's true. 1896, yes. To Dr. John Harvey Kellogg in Battle Creek, Michigan for, quote, flaked cereal and process of making same.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Okay.
So you both have kids. What's the cereal of choice?
Oh, Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms, really?
I know.
I don't want to sound like a granola mom, but my kids didn't really eat cereal.
All right.
That's good. Yeah, because Lucky Charms is terrible. And what do they eat?
The marshmallows.
Exactly.
See, I never understood marshmallows
in cereal.
It just didn't make sense.
Lucky Charms was my favorite when I was a kid. So.
All right. 1902, James Cash Penny opens his first store, JCPenney. James Cash Penny. Okay. It was called the Golden Rule Store in Wyoming.
The Golden Rule Store.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we did a show. It might have been pre-you, but we did a show on JCPenney once.
Okay.
Because once upon a time, Astoria was one of the last towns in America to have a Sears and a JCPenney downtown. And I always love telling visitors that, and now they're both gone.
And it looked like they were the last ones.
Yeah. I was fond of those stores.
That's mean. That sounded a little mean.
They had outdated themselves by then, right? In the space that they were in, for sure.
That's true. All right. 1912, the RMS Titanic, the world's largest ocean liner, hits an iceberg at 11:40 p.m.
Oh, I didn't realize that was...
It's going to sink tomorrow.
Okay, got it. But it hit
on
the
April
iceberg.
15th, but it hits it at 11:40 p.m.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So, don't tell me. I haven't seen the movie, so don't tell me how it's... 9:30. Don't laugh at that. You only encourage me. 1939, John Steinbeck's novel, The Grapes of Wrath, is published.
Ooh, well, that's a good one. Yep.
Did we read that?
Yes.
So eighth grade, we all apparently did our homework.
But yes.
Prior to that, we did not, or after that. It's a great book. 1943, American intelligence intercepts and decrypts an JN-25 message detailing the forthcoming visit by Japanese Navy Marshal Admiral Yamamoto to the Solomon Islands. And because we could crack their codes and we were reading everything that they're sending back and forth, it resulted in his plane being shot down 4 days later.
Oh, okay.
And he's the guy that planned Pearl Harbor.
Oh, got it.
So it was kind of a huge thing that we were able to shoot down his plane.
Okay.
1956, I considered this one. The Ampex Corporation demonstrates the first commercial videotape recorder.
Uh-huh. Oh, cool.
So I am so old that I remember getting our first VCR.
Oh, I do too.
I do too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
And then that it was cool when you could buy the separate rewind machines. Yeah. Do you remember those?
Sure do.
Because we needed a separate machine for that, which is so silly.
See, I would not have guessed either one of you were old enough to be kind, rewind.
I was going to say, remember the stickers? Remember the rewind?
Yeah, our little rewind thing was a car. Like you put it in the car and you shut it and it goes.
And Friday nights, going to the video store and figure out what you're going to do this weekend. Yeah.
Feeling disappointed when all the good stuff was rented out.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, because you'd see all of the covers there, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, our children have no idea.
No idea.
Nope.
Yeah. Nope. Now they're bored when they can't find something on thousands of choices.
But our history highlight of the day, and if I need to argue why, I certainly will, but I don't think I will. 1865, U.S. President Abraham Lincoln is shot in the head by John Wilkes Booth at Ford's Theater. He dies a day later. And also connected to this is I think sometimes social studies teachers don't give the bigger story that there was a whole coup attempt here because somebody was supposed to also kill the vice president and he kind of chickened out, lost his nerve. But U.S. Secretary of State William H. Seward, who was an incredibly powerful figure in the administration, and his family are attacked at his home by Lewis Powell as part of the same conspiracy. Hmm. And he was a big giant guy, Lewis Powell guy, and he attacked him with a knife.
Oh.
And the only reason that he didn't actually kill Seward, he had like some bandages, like maybe a neck brace or something on, and the knife kept being deflected.
Oh.
But he like was in the guy's bedroom stabbing him repeatedly. So it was an attempt to take out the entire leadership of the United States. So we tend to forget that. But obviously Abraham Lincoln dying puts the whole rest of the end of the Civil War and the whole Reconstruction in a very different path than he would have let us.
Well, and I had noted too that Ulysses S. Grant and his wife turned down the invitation to join Abraham Lincoln at the theater that night. So he too would have been a target in the booth that night.
Probably.
Yes.
But I do question, would Booth have been able to shoot them both?
That's true. Right. So. Yeah. Yeah.
But so, what yeah. I missed?
No, that was the only thing that I had noticed.
Wow.
I know.
That's amazing.
God, good work.
It's going to be a good show if I don't miss anything.
We have Bree Phillips here with Bree and Associates Real Estate Team. So, thanks for coming.
So somebody else who doesn't miss anything.
She doesn't miss anything. She's got her, what is it, finger on the pulse of the community.
I try.
At least who's moving and moving where.
But we're really going to talk about why you're no longer in Rotary.
Oh, ouch. Too many other commitments, my friend.
It comes and goes.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes. Because she's a little busy. But before we get to the busy, let's just talk about you. Where are you from and how did you end up here?
Okay, great. Well, I am a coastal girl through and through. I grew up in the non-metro area of Walport on the central Oregon coast.
Wow.
Yep. So spent my youth, Walport, Yahats, Tidewater, that area. That is where some of my family still lives. And after high school, I attended Oregon State University. And that is where I met my husband, Matt. He's a year older than I am. And he naturally got a job first. And it was here in his hometown in Astoria in Clatsop County. So I graduated a term early and moved here. And the rest is history.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. So before we dive deeper,
yes.
I want to back up a little bit. First, if you'd gotten a job first, would he have gone wherever you?
Yes.
Oh.
All right. Good for him.
Yes.
All right. I like that. But sell us on Walport. Why should we visit Walport? What's there to do there? What's great about it?
Well, there's not a lot in Walport except for a really cool looking bridge.
Oh, true.
And although I grew up there and I do have a fondness for Walport, I much prefer the North Oregon coast for a lot of reasons. One, I love that we're closer to Portland, to the metro area, just in case. Mm-hmm. And I think the natural beauty here is just at a beautiful, more pretty here than it is on the Central Coast. Not as much fog as we have down there in Walport. And
it's not a competition. We know we're the best place.
Well, okay,
in the world.
Good. I'm just smaller.
There are other nice places.
Right. Yeah, much, much smaller. There were 637 people in Yahats.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And Walport had not quite double that amount. And there were 68 kids in my graduating class. So, you know, I'm no stranger to living in a small town, but I love the opportunity that Astoria High School gave. Or is giving our kids. Our son Jack is at Oregon State. He's a junior, and our daughter Jane is a sophomore here at Astoria.
So when you go off to college, what were you studying? What did you think you were going to do with your life?
Oh, I hope. I was so excited for you to ask me this question. So I went to college to be a teacher. And I graduated with a degree in liberal studies to be an elementary school teacher. And that was in 2002. And in 2002, online education wasn't a thing. In fact, it wasn't a thing at all. And I knew I was moving to Astoria, and I just didn't want to take on the debt of going to get the master's degree because that was what it was going to take at that time. So I put that on hold and thought I would go back to school at some point, and that doesn't happen, my friends. So that's what I did. I have a passion for education and for leading. So if you come into my office, you're going to see some kindergarten type bulletin boards up with statistics and how my team is performing, because that's how my brain works.
Oh, I love that.
And did you do any student teaching while you were going through your education?
I
what
did.
What was that experience like?
It was what made it okay that I'm not a teacher today, actually.
Yeah.
So this is a cruel thing to do. They didn't have me student teach until my senior year. And they threw me into a middle school classroom, which is cool, and I can handle middle schoolers. But the subject was a little difficult for me. It was sex education.
Are you kidding
me?
No.
I can't make this up.
That's awful.
That seems criminal. And you were supposed to, for a semester, a week?
It was just a week, but that was good enough. And what I learned in that time, other than the subject matter was uncomfortable for me, was at that time, and just in those couple weeks I was in the school, I wasn't able to teach. It was more on managing behavior. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot different than how I grew up in schools. And it really got me thinking, is this something that I want to spend the rest of my life doing you know, managing behaviors of other people's children.
See, this is why I'm always fascinated by the teaching profession. And my daughter is a teacher now, but I don't know how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed that whether it's kindergartners or high school kids, that you can keep a group of kids focused, 25 people in a room focused on a subject day in and day out.
Yeah.
Museum, I only have to do it for an hour while you're visiting, and then you're somebody else's problem.
It takes a lot of bandwidth and a lot of work to keep that train moving forward.
Man, well, sex ed middle school, that'll do it for you.
So who did you tick off?
Exactly.
Who drew? Yeah, you drew short straw there.
I did draw the short straw.
And you're a kid in middle school. That's the worst part, that they're just giving this to a kid rather. I mean,
right.
I'm sorry.
Uncomfortable for everyone in the room.
Exactly.
Right?
It should be taught by somebody in their last year of teaching.
Yeah. Yes.
It's about to retire.
And I was like, what, 20 years old? Right. 19 years old, something like that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And the boys in the classroom were just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm speechless on that one.
That's good to know. Okay. Anyways. So you moved here.
Yeah.
So what had you ever visited, I assume, since you were courting
Matt was
young
here.
Mr. Matt?
Yeah.
What was your impressions of Astoria your first few times visiting?
I loved it. His parents were here at the time, still are. And so, you know, he toured me around to Peter Iredell and all of the different spots, the column. And I loved it. I didn't know that we were going to, you know, end up here because we started dating my sophomore year, his junior year. But I sure am happy we did.
Nice. Did he start with the sheriff's department at the time?
He did. Okay. Yeah. He started at the sheriff's office summer of, I believe it was his sophomore or junior year. And this is also another good story about Oregon State. So during my time at Oregon State, I worked on the Daily Barometer, the newspaper, but I worked on the business side. So I sold ads for a couple of years, and then I got a promotion to be their business manager. So I'm managing a sales team while I'm in college, going to school full time. And I would see all the advertisements coming through. And there was a half page ad. And I'll tell you, a half page ad was a real big deal when you worked for the Daily Barometer. And it was from the Oregon Police Corps. And the ad was very simple, very minimalist. And they were seeking candidates who wanted to go into law enforcement. And Matt was thinking of law enforcement. So I brought it back to fraternity. And I said, you know, you should apply for this, because if you get this scholarship, they will pay for all 4 years of your schooling at Oregon State. But there's one promise. You have to promise to go where the police corps places you, in a rural community. And he's like, OK, I'll apply. But they're only giving it out to like 25 kids in the state. I'm like, you got this. You can do it. And guess what? He won the scholarship.
Oh, my goodness.
So he got that Oregon Police Corps scholarship. They don't have that program anymore, but that allowed him to meet some really cool lifelong friends and springboarded him into his career in law enforcement.
And then they placed him here, or did he get to put in like choices?
He got, I believe it was three choices. So he chose Clatsop County, I believe it was Benton County, and Deschutes County.
Okay.
And this was the county that needed him, and that started his relationship with Sheriff Reichel.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah.
So early on, your first times visiting, you're seeing the column, you're seeing the Peter Iredell. Does he at any point say, I'm going to be the sheriff here someday? And you laughed? Or?
Yeah. No, I never doubt Matt. No. You know, he never said that, but I always knew in my heart that he was going to be a leader in his profession, no matter what he decided to do. So it's no surprise to me that he's in the top law enforcement position here in our county.
Okay, so enough about him.
Yeah.
Because this is your show, not his. So how did you fall into what you're doing?
Yep.
How did you fall into real estate? How did that happen?
Estate. Yeah.
You get here and he's got the job, you don't. So what do you do?
So what I did, because I'm not going to be a teacher, I'm not going to get the master's degree, I fell into what I knew, and that was sales. So I got myself a job at the Seaside Signal selling advertising, because remember, I had the experience at Daily Barometer.
No.
So I sold ads, and that was not my favorite job. It was really difficult to sell newspaper advertising in 2002. But I did it. I just didn't love it. But what that job allowed me to do was meet some really cool people. So every Thursday, I would go to the Seaside Downtown Development meetings, and I got to sit around all those business owners and built connections and relationships with them. And when it came open, they asked me to apply for the Downtown Development Director position, their executive director. I was 22 at the time. And so I was thinking, that's a big job title, executive director, but I'll try it. And I got the job.
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. How fun.
So all the starfish lights in downtown Seaside, that was something that Keith Chandler and I worked on together.
Oh.
The wine walk, that was something that I helped to bring, and the flower baskets and helping do all of that. So I stayed in that position until Jack was about, I think he was one and a half, 2 years old. Mm-hmm. And then I springboarded into real estate.
So it strikes me, and correct me, it seems like that's a little bit of a thankless job. That half the people might love the wine walk and the others are saying, why are we wasting time on this? Or is everybody on board? Is everybody connected? And we all see that even if it may not directly benefit my business overall, if downtown's great, it's going great, that's good for me too.
Yeah, that's one difference I see from Astoria to Seaside. And remind you, like, this is 20 some years ago, that there's a different business community in downtown Seaside than there is in Astoria. And they would embrace any new innovative idea. And everybody was on board.
And the fact that they're still doing those three main things, I mean, that's what they fundraise for, is, you know, the wine walk pays for the flowers and the starfish. And yeah, I mean,
the gardening downtown, all those little gardens have a theme and there's like a reason and a story behind them.
Yeah. So when you go through, are you like, yeah.
Totally.
The wine walk for sure. And the starfish lights. The flower basket program was going on before me, but there's definitely a sense of pride when I drive down Broadway or go and shop and see things. I'm very fond of Seaside.
Nice.
Oh, how fun. So what are you doing with your family now? So your kids are in high school, involved in all the things. Your daughter was just part of the exchange program.
Yes, the Waldorf Exchange.
And what was her perspective on that? That's such a unique experience. And I just love that it's offered.
Yeah. So quick shout out to that program. It's my understanding that's been going on for 63 years here in Astoria. So children or students at Astoria High School can go to Waldorf, Germany and explore their culture and their school for about 12 days. So yeah, she just finished that and she's already, you know, traveled a lot in her little life, but this was eye-opening to travel in a different way without her mom and dad.
Right.
And she's ready to go back. And so, in fact, she said, Mom, I think I want that to be my senior project and I want to help organize it. I've got some other ideas on what we can do.
Oh, that's exciting.
So what was the feeling putting her on the plane?
Oh.
As you're watching that you can't control.
Yeah. That was tough, but I think Jack prepared me for that when he, at age 16, went to Bristol Bay and fished all summer.
Oh,
and there was virtually no communication. So he's kind of groomed Matt and I. So when Jane goes on a plane and flies halfway across the world, we were ready, but we are also lonely. Because now for those 12 days, we were really empty nesters.
But at least you knew the end date.
Yes.
Right. Whereas your son, like, it's a couple more.
Yeah, we didn't know the end date at Bristol Bay.
And
now we have a pretty good idea.
A group of people. And it's, 12 days, you're coming back and can communicate if you need to.
Yes.
Quick shout out, though, on that. Just a little follow up. That the Sister City program with Waldorf is because John Jacob Astor, that's where he was born. And it's actually one of the coolest things about this. It is the oldest sister city relationship between the United States and Germany.
Yes.
It was after World War II, and Germany reached out, and the mayor here was Harry Steinbach, a Jewish fellow. And for him to have agreed to go over there, knowing the history, kind of just a win all the way around for everybody, that Waldorf would think of us, that we agreed, that the mayor was like, okay, I'll do this, and that it's been going on forever. And they're a great town to been good to us, and it's
so
a fun relationship, and I love that whole program. So.
Me too.
And you hosted a student as well.
Yes.
So we get the same opportunity.
They did. So we've done it for 2 years in a row. And Matt and I have also become really good friends with Steffi, the assistant headmaster. And so we told her, as soon as Jane graduates and no more students, then you get to come stay with us. And you're my exchange partner.
Oh, how fun. And what's involved with that? I mean, who gets to participate in that? Is it all high school students?
That's my understanding. Yeah, you just put in an application, and Jim Pierce, he's been heading the program for over 20 years. He's going to take a look, and there's a little financial obligation, but they fundraise as well. It's something worth looking into if you have kids in Astoria.
Oh, I love that. What else are you involved in? Aside from Bree and Associates, a real estate team.
Yeah, so... Mac was razzing me about getting out of Rotary. And the reason why I took a step back is because I put a lot of effort and heart and soul into the Clatsop Association of Realtors. We kind of went through a rebirth about 4 years ago, and I stepped up as a leader and helped that organization get back up and running. So now we're at a point where we can offer about 30 hours of continuing education a year to our members. We have about 150 members. So super involved in that, not on the board anymore, but now I'm chair of education. Also,
but they're not kindergartners.
They're not kindergartners.
And they're not asking you to do sex education.
No, they're not asking me about STDs. Now we're talking about title insurance and how to negotiate. That's more my speed.
There you go. That's your wheelhouse.
That's right. Let's see. Also involved in 4-H. Our kids have been involved in 4-H since they could, back in fourth grade. So we've got pigs at our house right now. We're raising pigs to go to market.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not so much me, but they're at our house and Jane's really involved. And then just running the business. And this year I've made a commitment to myself to really pour into the larger brokerage that I'm a part of, EXP. So I'm doing a lot of traveling this year and getting into that education realm within the brokerage as well.
Okay.
So she's still doing education.
Exactly. I like that. It all comes full circle.
It does. All comes full circle.
So talk a little bit about how did you get into real estate specifically and your own company instead of just being an agent for somebody else?
Yeah, absolutely. So Matt and I bought our first house in the River Point development in 2002. So we didn't waste much time after getting married. And my neighbor was Jen Morrissey. And we started talking. I would walk that loop all the time. And she's like, hey, have you ever thought about real estate? And remember, I was thinking I got to go a different direction here. Jack was little. And I loved the Downtown Association, but I needed to do something, you know, more career oriented. And started talking to me about it, talked to Matt about it, really thought about it, and jumped in and worked for Jen at RE/MAX for several years. Then she sold the company. And the reason why I broke away from RE/MAX is because my team was able to grow under that umbrella. But it was time to, you know, have our own space. So that's when we bought the commercial building downtown Astoria and branched out.
And how many are on your team now?
So there are 7 of us on the team, 5 on the sales team and 2 on the admin staff.
Oh, how exciting.
And go ahead and toot your own horn a little bit. Are you the biggest seller? Or
did you make the bulletin board?
So I didn't, but my team did. And that's what I'm most proud of. Every salesperson on my team is in the top 5. In fact, I have the number 1 agent on my team. We just pulled the stats for the quarter, and that's Caitlin Williams. And I'm so, so proud of her. And Deb Stenvall on the team, Lee Mortlock and Hillary Anderson, they're all top producers and have been for their entire careers. So I'm super, super proud of them and proud of the organization that we have.
So right now, is it a good time to buy or to sell besides the pat answer of it's always a good time?
Yeah. No, it's not always a good time. You know, it really depends on where you're at in your life. So right now, inventory is still at low. It's low historically compared to where we were before the pandemic. So if you have to sell, it's great because you don't have as much competition, but beware that buyers are savvy as ever and they're coming in asking for concessions. So that's something to be aware of. And if you're a buyer and you need a spot to live, it's still a better option than renting if you've looked at what's available to rent. So it really just depends on your life cycle. And that's something that we help all of our prospective clients through.
And size and location. So for the people moving and for you staying, what is it that keeps you here?
Oh, what is it that keeps me here? Well, the careers that Matt and I have built, and the relationships, honestly. All of the relationships that I have built over the 23 years that I've lived in Clatsop County keep me here, and I'm here for the long haul.
I love it. Well, great. Well, thank you so much. That was Bree Phillips with Bree & Associates Real Estate Team. We're glad to talk to you.
Thank you for having
me. Thanks for coming.
All right. Go make some history. Thanks for listening. We will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.